You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
911, emergency.
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
On today's episode, Liz and I chat with Arlene Pellicane about National Marriage Week, as well as tons of tips for keeping your marriage strong and connected. From daily connections to weekly date nights and even regular getaways, she emphasizes the importance of making your marriage a priority. Arlene Pellicane is the national spokesperson for National Marriage Week. She's a top marriage and parenting author and speaker and has appeared on several media outlets like The Today Show, Wall Street Journal, Focus on the Family, Fox and Friends, TLC's Homemade Simple, Family Life Today, and The 700 Club. She's also the host of the Happy Home podcast and the author of several books, including 31 Days to a Happy Husband and 31 Days to Becoming a Happier Wife. She is married to James, her husband of more than 25 years, and they have three children, Ethan, Noelle, and Lucy. We hope you enjoy the show. Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection podcast. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State University alongside Dr. Liz Hale, our licensed clinical psychologist and family therapist. We are dedicating our lives to bringing you the very best in research, in resources, some tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. And today we're talking about celebrating marriage and why we should celebrate marriage. We are thrilled to welcome to the show Arlene Pellicane, the national spokesperson for National Marriage Week, which is held every year, February 7th to the 14th here in Utah. We've been celebrating it for many years and even had a statewide virtual date night this past February with speakers and a comedian breakout sessions. So we love what you're doing, Arlene. Welcome to the show.
And it's so amazing. Utah is leading the way. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes,
we need to replicate you across all 50 states. That would be amazing.
I know, don't we? Yes. Celebrating marriage. There's so much to celebrate, so much good to talk about. We're anxious to dive in. Let's start big picture. Tell us a little about you and why you got involved and how long you've been leading the efforts here with the National Marriage Week and why.
Yes.
Why have a National Marriage Week?
Yeah, National Marriage Week is every year and it's a celebration. And the why of it is, you know, you think about, oh, there's National Ice Cream Day or National Pancake Day or Recycling Week, and all these things are very lovely and good. But my word, if we're going to celebrate pancakes, we can also celebrate marriage. And, you know, in our culture, marriage is kind of like, oh, it's optional. all? Is it really necessary? You know, aren't you going to divorce anyway? So there's a lot of public relations. You know, the image of marriage isn't one that is a beautiful one that we're giving to young people in particular. So really, National Marriage Week is to say, let's celebrate this. Let's highlight the good that marriage does. And so I love that. So just that, let's support this. That's why I came on board. I'm very much a newcomer to National Marriage Week. I have been their spokesperson for 2 years. So it's not like, oh, I've been here for 30 years. You know, I've been here for 2 years. But my story is that, like many people, I was in high school and then college, dreaming of marriage, dreaming of dropping my books and having someone pick them up and our eyes to meet and us to have all the same interests and want to accomplish the same things in life and fall in love. And I just kept waiting for that day to happen. And it just felt like this is never happening. And I found it happening to all my friends. And, you know, I'm married in my late 20s, which now seems very normal, if not even a little bit early. But in the 90s, it's like, all my friends were married and I was like, where is this man? So when I did finally marry, my husband James and I have been married for 25 years. It was something like, wow, I get to do this. Like, it was like super exciting to me. And I have very much enjoyed being married. And all of us know that as we talk to our friends, not everyone loves being married. So that was kind of part of what I found my heart and my passion was to encourage people to appreciate, look at what you have instead of, you know, oh, my husband's not this, or my husband's not this, or my wife's not this, you know, no, like, look at this from an attitude of being grateful, of remembering the vows that you made. So these 25 years I've had with my husband, they're not perfect. I know you had Jill and Mark Savage on, No More Perfect Marriages. You had them on recently. And, you know, it's not a perfect marriage, but it is a good marriage and a happy marriage. And to be frank with you, it's not that hard. Like, I think people make it so, so hard. So my heart is, how can we make this easier for people to be successful in what matters most? And really, at the end of your life, you're not going to look at your portfolio. You're not going to look at your work accolades. You're not going to look at your social media followers or how many YouTube hits you had, or if you have a patent. Like, these things are nice, but these are not the things that will drive you. You will see, is there someone sitting next to me, you know, who has lived life alongside of me, loving me? That's what's most important. So how can we help people to enjoy this most important relationship?
Love it.
I just really want to acknowledge you, Arlene, and your husband for 25 years of marriage, and Dave and Jamie, another 25 years of marriage. We're in good stead with all of this marital experience, 50 plus years. That is terrific. I'll add my 11 on
that.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But we wanted to ask you, what are the statistics saying about the state of marriage today overall? And how is it impacting? You mentioned the younger generation. What's your concern there?
Yeah. So, you know, you always hear like, oh, the statistics are so bad. Like, why bother getting married? It's going to end in divorce anyway. And actually the divorce rate is down, but the marriage rate is also down. So those things could kind of be with each other. So the divorce rate is definitely down since 1980. So looking at every, like in 1,000 people in 1980, 22 of them were getting divorced. And in 2021, only 13 were getting divorced. So, you know, for first time marriages, you know, maybe 40% may end in divorce, but that we focus, you know, on that 40%. Look at all those people getting divorced. But that means also that 60% are staying together. And that, as Brad Wilcox at the University of Virginia National Marriage Project, he talks very much about that there are certain things, whether it's a college education, being conservative, being religious, and even being Chinese was one of them, that in his research that they were finding they have more of a likelihood statistically to stay together. So I think the Chinese thing, just being a Chinese person, is like the we mindset. Like the, not the individualism, but the what's better for the unit, you know, that mindset kind of carries over into marriage. But in terms of the marriage rate, it is interesting because you look at like our grandparents, you know, the silent generation, 81% of them got married. The boomers, 61% of them got married. Gen X, my generation, 53% of us got married. Millennials, 44%. So we've gone from 81% of people getting married to 44% of people getting married. So it's a huge shift in like, what are the rite of passages, you know, in terms of growth? What is desirable? What is like that next step? What is that, you know? And so that is a huge thing. And in that sense, if that continues, they've projected, you know, that one out of four people, young people today, may never marry. And if that were to happen, you can imagine the ripple effects of, okay, just through population, if we are not, you know, replacing our population, what does that mean for the economy? What does that mean for people as they grow up and they have no kin? You know, that when you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s even, and all of your friends are single and you're hanging out together, like that just seems like, yay, I'm free. But think about like, okay, now you're 60, you're 70, you're 80, you're 90. You have no children. You have no nieces or nephews. You have no next of kin. And it really is like, wow, like that is very sobering. And if kids today, you know, they surveyed college students, 33,000 of them. And the Wall Street Journal reported that two out of three of those college students felt lonely. And let's think about this. Like if we were with like thousands of people in our exact same age with the same purpose, you know, these are all college age students. They're the same age. They are going through the same things. They've just separated from their families. They're about to choose a career. I mean, they have a lot of similarities. So if we as adults were with thousands of people in our exact same station, I would assume we would be able to find a few friends, right? Yeah. So it's like this,
two out of three are lonely.
Two out of three being lonely. So if they cannot find friends in college, then think as they grow up in a young adulthood and then adults and then seniors, if they have no marriage, if they have no family, you can imagine the loneliness epidemic that may face us 30, you know, years from now. So these statistics are alarming in that way to say, wow, if we don't get people in, you know, when they're kids to say like, oh, someday I do want to dream of being a wife. I do want to be a husband and protect this family. Like if we don't raise children who have these ideals, then we are in for a very bumpy time. So the time is now to say, hey, we've got to get more young people excited about marriage so more of them will marry in the future.
Yes. And do you have a few ideas on how we can do that? How can we as the adults to this younger generation, the aunties, the parents, the friends and other family members, what can we do and say to inspire?
Such a good question. I think the core of that is in your own home. If you have children, that you are living in such a way that your kids say, yeah, I want that when I grow up. No question. Like, of course I want that. I want a spouse. I want children. Like you have made this look good. And so a lot of it is for us is to realize, be grateful, be warm and loving to your spouse and to your children so that your kids grow up in a warm atmosphere. They say, I want to replicate this. And then I think it looks like, you know, in the culture at large, you know, if you're an aunt, you're an uncle, you're a volunteer at a school, you interface in some way with a young person, then you watch how you portray marriage, whether it is your own marriage or marriage in general. Like, watch yourself. Like, am I complaining about my spouse a lot? You know, am I always talking about, oh, he forgot to do the laundry. Oh, he's been looking for work for the last 8 months and he can't find anything. Oh, my wife, she couldn't cook to save her life. You know, just like, how are we talking about our spouses and realize, oh, I am projecting like the story of, oh, this is what it's like to be married. And no wonder they don't want to be married because you make it look like it's so awful. And is that a transformation for us? Yeah. So maybe you might feel like, well, I'm not being honest because that really is how it is. Well, then this is a good call to say, okay, wait, maybe if I begin with complaining less, even like complaining 50% less and then 75% less, and then wean yourself off that before you say something bad, you stop yourself and instead you write it down on a piece of paper and then later you'll burn it. Who knows? But just find different ways to express these things. And guess what? You're going to find, oh, I am a less unpleasant, bitter person. And that's actually going to be really good for you. So watch the words you speak. Don't join in. If everyone in your little circle is complaining about their spouse, complaining about their marriage, wishing for the good old days, you know, don't join in. And when you have the opportunity, say, hey, you know what, guys, before we had spouses, were we really that much better off? You know, kind of like talk that through. So be that light in your small circles for marriage, and how you shine, I think, in those smaller circles, your home, your small groups of friends, your workplace, your employees, all those places, then that provides strength to the community of showing like, hey, wait, marriage is a good thing. Maybe we should look at this again.
That's a good point. And I think even if parents are divorced, I still think there's some hope.
I'm so glad you said that.
That didn't go so well for us, but I have a lot of hope in you and a lot of hope in the good research that's out there today. This can work. And you and I, we know couples where this works for. Let's name them off, the happily marrieds. What else are we going to add to that, Arlene?
Yeah, I was just going to say it's so important as a single parent. Like, you don't have to lie. You don't have to make up stories. But to say, you know what, let me get to the point in my life where I can affirm marriage. Maybe I had a lot of bad things happen to me. Maybe I was very hurt. Maybe I have a lot of things I need to process. But let me get into the point in my life where I can say to my children, you know what? We didn't do it perfect and there was a lot of hurt that came out of it. But marriage in and of itself can be a very good thing. And anything I can do to support you to have a good marriage, I will do the best of my ability to do that. Because I think many times we can sabotage that without even realizing it, just by talking constantly about how hard it is, how awful it is, you know, bad mouthing, the ex, all those different things. And I know so many single friends of mine who do that so well, that speak so well of their ex, even though maybe they don't deserve, you know, to be spoken well of. Yep. But that grace that you extend to that other person, that's important. And your kids are watching that. And you can be a very good advocate for marriage, even if you are not married.
Mm, well said.
Beautiful. Taking the high road. It's the best view,
yes.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's really lovely. And I love this theme for 2024. Marriage theme is love beyond words.
Yeah, it's like, it's not just cheap talk, not just like, yeah, I'm going to be there for you. Then you take off. It's like love beyond words. When you made that vow, for richer or for poorer, for better or for worse, in sickness or in health, those were not just words. I will love you beyond words when I don't feel like it, when you've been very nasty to me. You know, I have a friend, they've been married at least 30 years, and it's cute. The husband's very patient and the wife is very driven. And so she's kind of mean to him. And she says to me, but she's, you know, she's a good one. You know what I'm saying? She's just like, sure. Do this. She kind of bosses him around. And she says, after about 2 hours of that, he'll say, you need to be a little nicer to me. You know, she says he can take it for about 2 hours, you know, but regardless of how he feels, you know, he'll say to her, my worst day is someone else's best day. That's his little saying. So it's very sweet that to me, that's love beyond words, that he is loving her, even though sometimes she is difficult to live with, that he will love her beyond words. So it is the idea of, you know, I heard one person was saying that they had lost their eyesight. And so for the past 9 years, that his wife has helped him every day to get dressed, to make sure he matches, to get him where he needs to be, to help him, to be there for him. And it was just such a beautiful picture of love beyond words that, you know, when you married, that wasn't your circumstance, but it is your circumstance now. And the love beyond words says, I will fulfill the promises I made to you. I will make sacrifices for you. So they can be very big sacrifices like that. Like, I will rearrange my life to make sure that this works for both of us. So big sacrifices, love beyond words, but they're also really small sacrifices like, oh, look at last bite of dessert. Would you like it, dear? You know, and it's like these little, so it's little things and it's big things. It's doing things when you don't feel like it. It's holding your tongue when you really want to lash out, but you're thinking to yourself, you know, this is a love that's not just cheap talk. It is action oriented and I will gladly do it. So yes, I love this theme, love beyond words. It's a fun and beautiful theme.
Mm, I love that. I love some of these examples. Do you have other practical tips, ideas yes. for the our podcast, the Stronger Marriage yes. Connection, building that connection of rituals or date nights, those types of things.
Yeah. One thing I love, National Marriage Week, marriageweek.org, they have this rhythm that they talk about of connecting daily and dating weekly and getting away yearly. And I really like this very simple, because sometimes you think, how do I do it? How do I have a happy marriage? But if you go back to, okay, have I daily connected with my spouse? And, I know my cousin, they're in their 50s, and she and her husband have coffee every morning. They usually go outside if they can do it, but they have this little cup of coffee together at like 6 o'clock in the morning, and they make sure that they always have that together. And that's their daily connection. My husband's love language is touch. Mine is words. So at the end of the day, it is a foot rub for him and us talking for me, and it's a daily connection point. So these can be very small things. They don't have to take a long time. They don't have to be extra money, but it is like you could think back on the day and say, yeah, we looked at each other without a phone in our hand for over a minute, and it might just be a minute. It just might be a minute where you're literally like holding each other's hands, looking in each other's eyes and saying, wow, this is going to be a really busy day, but how are you doing? What do I need to know about today? How did that meeting go? What's going on? What's driving you crazy about the kids? Okay, babe, I love you. Goodbye. And so it's just like a checking in. It doesn't have to be this huge long thing. But if it is like a rhythm, like, hey, we sit on the couch after dinner for 5 minutes and talk to each other, or we walk around our block after dinner, things like that, where it is carved out time and space, that's really nice because you don't have to think about it. You just do it. And then every day it happens. So some kind of daily connection together. And if you're apart, you're one person's deployed, or you're working, or one person's night shift and one person's day shift. I've talked to a trucker, and they would say, like, at a certain time of day, they always text each other. So every time at this particular time of day, they will always do that every day. So it's just this feeling of we are not just, doing our own thing, but we do life together. And even when we're not physically together, we have some kind of daily connection. So I think that really helps. And then the weekly date, this is a huge thing. And I will be the first to admit, my husband and I, we both work from home. He's a realtor, so he's kind of in and out of the house all day. I'm home, I'm speaking, podcasting, writing. So I'm in and out. So sometimes we'll be like, why do we need to date? Like, we see each other all the time. But honestly, this research out of National Marriage Week has really made it really was kind of like aha to us, even after so many years of marriage. So maybe year 23, we're like, oh, look at this. When people statistically, the State of Our Union survey showed that couples were asked, so you can think about this as you're listening, how many times do you go out on a date in a year? And some people said never or rarely, like just a few times a year. In fact, 52% of people said that. That's a huge amount of people, never or just a few times a year. And 48% of people said once a month or more. And what they found was the people that said once a month or more, they statistically had like a 15% bump in happiness in areas like communication. It's kind of like, no duh, like they're talking to each other. Communication, physical intimacy, not likely to divorce, overall happiness, like all these things took a 15% bump. Let's say from 60% happiness to 75% happiness, both in men and women, just from we go out once a month. Like, that's it. So a really simple thing to up your marriage is just to say to yourself, hey, sometimes you think like, hey, let's go on a weekly date. And then that'll probably turn into one or two a month, And I think that's really great. So that's a wonderful practical thing, is that weekly date.
We'll be right back after this brief message.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Well, let's dive right in. So important. I mean, you're talking about marriage maintenance, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
Making it a priority.
Yeah.
And making it, whether it's a babysitter and all, but you know, that costs a lot. It's a lot less expensive than a therapist.
That's right.
Invest, invest in your relationship. My wife and I, we have a little getaway coming up, not this weekend, but the next weekend. And we talk about it. We plan for it. And it's something we really look forward to is that time for connection. And it's worth every investment. I love the daily connections, the weekly, monthly, yearly. You just have to make it a priority intentionally or it'll slip by.
And then like what you're doing now, you also have the anticipation. So now it's like, yay, we know we have uninterrupted time together. There's the novelty of something out of your daily grind that you're looking forward to. And now you're anticipating something. So you don't just enjoy the vacation, but you ride all the anticipation too. So maybe like that movie Up when they're saving for their amazing dream vacation. So if there is like something, a big something like we're going to go to Tahiti, you know, or whatever it is, that this really big something that could be really lovely to just anticipate that over years of we're going to do that someday, or that yearly getaway can just be like, hey, you know what? It's been kind of a slim year and we're going half an hour away and spending the night at the hotel and that's fine too. So that's those connections. I was talking to a mom recently and they have little kids. And so they haven't gotten away for 5 years, you know, together. And she said, oh my word, we just did a 24 hour, you know, get grandma and grandpa involved. We just did 24 hours at our local hotel and we couldn't believe how different we felt and how different we were with each other when the kids were not there and how much we should do this every year. So it's such a good goal. And you know what? Back to that date night thing. If on marriageweek.org, there are all sorts of free creative date night ideas there, marriageweek.org. So if you're thinking like, oh, date night, like, okay, Applebee's in a movie, like we've done for the last 15 years, you know, or whatever it is, you know, to think like, hey, let's be more creative with this date night thing. And there's all sorts of fun ideas there.
Oh, love it. Love it. And we'll put that in the show notes, my friends. So listeners, we'll put these links so you can go there for the information and for the date nights as well. Thank you.
I am just so impressed, Arlene. Here you are, the national spokesperson for the National Marriage Week. That's just impressive. So you must have tips just kind of coming out of your
I would turn that back to you guys to be impressed with all the things you're doing to help marriages.
What else would you like to add to this discussion, to our discussion today about the best tips or advice for healthy marriage?
Yeah.
I think
that if you have children, so before you have children or if you do not have children, it is much more natural to put the effort in with your spouse. Cause as you look around your home, it's like, oh, look, it's you. So it's like you put in the effort to them.
And only you.
Like, let's go see a concert. Let's go see a movie. Let's go play sports. Let's ride our bikes together. Like, it's pretty natural. Like, let's do something together. Let's spend time together. But once baby makes three and you have that child or those children, then it's like, wow, now these are not adults. They cannot take care of themselves. And we tend to do a lot for our children. So I think one of the hugest components is just realizing in your mind wait a minute, my primary relationship in this home is not as mother or father. It is as husband or wife. And that is really hard. Like, because a lot of times you think like, no, it's mother. Have you seen how much these kids need me? My primary role is mother, or my primary role is father. But to realize, oh, wow, like, you know, now I have one in college. I have a senior in high school and a freshman in high school. And you can kind of see the handwriting on the wall. Like, these kids are getting big. They're becoming young adults, and someday, very soon, it will just be my husband and I. And you really have to have that long game in mind, that during all those very, you know, intense, beautiful, wonderful, frustrating parenting years, that's why that date, that yearly getaway, those daily connections, you cannot forget the marriage. So I think the biggest mistake we make is we put the marriage in the backseat. We care more about what our kids think of us than what our spouse thinks of us, that we're so much more caring about, well, I don't want my child to think I wasn't there for them, or that I didn't approve of this or whatever. But with our spouse, we're like, oh, you know, why do they need me to do that? They should be able to take care of that themselves anyway. They're a full grown adult, you know? So that same care that we had when we were dating for the wife, I think it is, and here my word, talk about stepping on toes. For the wife, it is like still being physically attractive to her husband. So what that might look like is just an effort, you know, to look the, like, kind of, I love what Willard Harley says in his needs, her needs, to look remotely like the woman that he married. so like to care. So to be physically attractive to him, to, this doesn't mean you have to be modeled. No, it just means like do your best to like keep up with yourself, because your husband is much more visually oriented than you are. And then for husbands, it's like, you just got to be nicer. You got to watch that tone. You've got to have that tenderness. You can't forget like to dote on that wife, to teach her, talk to her tenderly, care about her. How are you, honey? So it's like that emotional attractiveness, like those things need to continue throughout the marriage and throughout the parenting years, and they must be worked on and they must be seen as important. And the really the huge blessing you can give to your kids is kids that grow up knowing my mom and dad will always love each other. They will always be together. I have no worry in my mind at all that my parents will ever separate, you know, that is, that base is much more important than, oh, you know, we had more money, or, oh, we got to do all these sports, or, oh, we competed at the highest level, or, oh, wow, we are like this scholar that's going to get into Harvard. Like those things, that's what we tend to look at, but those things are not as important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. That really sets somebody up for success, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Foundation of a close connection of their marriage, of their parents' marriage. Yeah.
Arlene, I love these tips. I'm curious about your take on technology in relationships. I've done some research on what's called technoference, right? When technology can get in the way, and electronics and this digital age and social media scrolling, and, you know, all night long in bed. What's your take on technology and relationships?
This is a huge thing, Dr. Dave, what you have talked about. And it's not no longer the mistress, or, you know, this, it's like the third wheel is your phone, and that, you know, it looks all innocent and all. Yeah, we both have our phone, but guess what? If you are, where is your attention? Right. And in the moments that you used to look at your spouse in the eye, whether that's over dinner or that's just in passing at home, guess what? Now we're looking at our phones. You see this in the restaurants. You see this in the houses, that we are looking down at our phones instead of at each other. Business Insider reports we are touching our phones upward of 2,000 times a day, tapping them, swiping them, clicking them, looking at them. And can you imagine if you just reached out to your spouse like 10 times a day? Your spouse would be like, what is up with you? Like, what are you doing? So think about, where does your attention fall? You know, what is taking, where do your eyes go most? And at the, and look at the beginning and the end of your days. So instead of waking up with a phone, going to bed with a phone, instead think, let me wake up and at least like the first 15 minutes, let me not look at my phone, but then like, good morning to my spouse, or, you know, that more of a, that kind of feel. And then, of course, at night, that's when you can talk. That's when you can have the physical cuddles and the closeness. But what do? We're watching Netflix and then we fall asleep, or we are both on our phones with our backs towards each other. And we're just looking, good night, good night. You know, you're at lunch together and you're just scrolling because you've run out of things to talk about. And so this is not healthy. It's not good. We're forming connections with our devices instead of with our spouses. And so I think you can start by asking your spouse, and most of us won't do this because it comes back to us, is asking your spouse, you know, do you ever feel like I'm on my phone too much? Does my video gaming bother you? Do you think, am I spending enough time with you? My scrolling on social media, does that ever bug you? You know, we don't want to ask these questions because then they'll say yes, and then we have to do something. So we just avoid the question altogether because we figure they're doing their screen thing. I will do my screen thing. We will just be silent about it and just keep doing it. And then no one has to change. And that's where we have to say, wait a minute. If we are connected more with our devices, it's kind of like, would you rather be without your spouse or without your phone for a day, right? And then if you thought, oh my goodness, I couldn't go a whole day without checking in on my phone or, you know, all that, you know, then you think, wait a minute, you're way more connected to that. In my book, Calm, Cool, and Connected, I ask the question, is your spouse more interesting than your phone? You know, because they used to be. And so it is, instead of the curiosity. Now, obviously the phone is wired to get your attention. It's not because you are a bad person. It is completely, from psychologists to brain researchers to advertisers, they are doing everything in their power to keep you on the phone. So it is not you. There is addictive tech that is at play. And so I think it is being wise enough to say, I need to put that away. Like, if I maybe need to buy a box for it, you know, they have those little boxes for your phones, put your phone in a box and have dinner with your spouse and your family, and reclaim that time of connection. And don't let it be said of you that, oh, my spouse feels neglected because I'm on my phone too much. I watch sports too much. I watch too many movies, whatever it is. Don't just make it up your mind. That's not going to be us.
Powerful. Yeah. Well said. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I'd love to know more about Calm, Cool, and Connected.
Yes. Yeah. It's geared for us as adults. So I have a book, Screen Kids, that is about, to a parent, how can we help our kids not to be addicted to these screens? And then Calm, Cool, and Connected, 5 Digital Habits for a More Balanced Life, is like, okay, technology is part of our life, but how can we use it in a way that we are forming good habits so our relationships still flourish.
Fantastic. What about the other resources? Our friend Arlene here. That's what's available on marriageweek.org. What can people expect to find there? And how do they get involved?
Yes, marriageweek.org. And you'll find that date night, creative date nights that I had referred to earlier. So I love that. And there's also a couples connection plan that is free that you can download. And this is the kind of thing, like, let's say you want to say to your spouse, there are many things that you have a problem with and I need you to fix them. You know, that might not go that well.
Yeah, but that'll
The couple's connection plan is more like, hey, let's do this together. And it's something like, it's a third party that is asking these questions of, you know, what's going right in our marriage? What could be doing better? What are some things you're thankful for in your spouse? And as you speak these languages of appreciation, as you learn about the 5 love languages, which is in that, you know, couples connection plan, and start speaking them more to your spouse, as you have these ideas, it will help. So if you're kind of like, yeah, I need the maintenance, I want to do it, but I don't know where to start, this, I don't feel like paying any money for anything, this couples connection plan is perfect because it's free. It'll start the conversation going. And then there's also like a national calendar where you can look at, is there a marriage event happening close to me that I might be able to attend with my spouse? Or is our church or our community, are we hosting an event like this and we want to post it on there? So it's kind of like a clearinghouse for events that you can look at. And then there is so much research that you can look at. And when you look at this research, you'll say, oh my word, I had no idea that marriage was so good for your health, that, you know, that we have so much longevity if we're married. Oh my word, that we're so much more wealthy because we don't have to divide all the assets. Wow, that it can really rescue people out of poverty if they will just simply marry and start a new trajectory. So it's really, the research is very like positive towards marriage. So you can find all those things at marriageweek.org. And just, you know, you might want to plan something next February, a little date night in your community to say, hey, it's marriage week. Let's all go, like, four couples couples, let's go out to dinner and let's talk about how we first met our spouses. You know, you can get involved in Marriage Week by just simply thinking, how can I celebrate marriage within my community?
Is it always February 7th to the 14th?
Yes, it's always the week leading up to Valentine's Day. So that is super easy.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. And we'll post that again, marriageweek.org. We'll put that on the in our show notes for listeners to go check out all those amazing resources. Arlene, before we let you go, we got a couple of questions for you. We ask all of our guests. The first one is, what do you think is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
Yeah, I think it is the attitude that is like, what can I do for you? So if you constantly have the attitude of, I love you, I chose you, what can I do for you today? And it might be something really small, like I'll bring you a glass of water. Like, it doesn't have to be this huge thing, or I'll fill up the tank with gas, or I'll put a note in your lunch that says, I love you. But it is the attitude that is like, what can I do for you? How can I serve you today? Versus, right, if you have the attitude, what can you do for me? Then you're looking all day long. You're looking for, well, you haven't done much for me today. This is certainly not working on my behalf. So you live in your marriage, if you have this attitude, what can you do for me? Man, you're disappointed by day five. You're like, you're doing nothing for me. What in the world am I in this relationship for? But if you're like, what can I do for you? Now you're active and you can do something and you have control over what's happening. And then guess what? Your spouse is like, my word, you're so easy to live with. And they start appreciating you. And then they start doing the things that you had wished they had done. And it is that you have to go first. Sometimes we're like, I don't want to go first. I'm always going first. I want to wait for my spouse to do it because I've been doing it all the time. I want them to do it. I don't want to go. You just have to keep going first. Just don't wait. Keep going first. And what can I do for you today?
Oh, I love that answer. It really summarizes what I feel is the outward mindset, right? I call it searching inward and turning outward. Having that outward mindset is critical in marriages. Second question for you is your takeaway of the day. We call it a takeaway of the day. What message do you hope our listeners will take away from our discussion, Arlene?
I hope that they will see that marriage isn't just good, but your marriage is good. That if you're listening, that you say, wow, I have a very good marriage and I know how to enjoy it more. I'm going to schedule that date and I'm going to appreciate my spouse and I'm going to speak well of it. And I'm going to create something that the generation following me will want. I want to make marriage attractive because I have a good marriage.
Love it. Love it. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day?
Arlene just took the words right out of my mouth. First off, I love that whole concept of, you know, it's so easy to get stuck in. What have you done for me lately? But I almost always find in marriage therapy, Arlene and Dave, that when we are stuck in, gosh, my partner's not giving me very much. It's almost always, I'm not getting very much. It's almost always, I'm not giving very much. At least that's a great place to start. And just that whole notion of 80% of our grandparents married, but only 81%, but only 44% of millennials. We have a huge responsibility, those of us who are those aunties and parents, to really speak highly of marriage and to have that ourselves first off, right? So that actions speak louder than words. True. Dave, what about you? What's your greatest takeaway from our time together with Arlene Pelican?
Yeah, I love this, Arlene. I think that this outward mindset, this intentionality, thinking of examples. I think of my own parents who celebrated 58 years together. And I think that, yeah, that's what I thought, this is what I want. And what we've tried to do for our, we have four children and we've tried to model them and to make, hey, yeah, sorry, tonight we're actually going out on date night. Right. Just us too. We love you guys, but we love each other a lot.
That's right.
We're out of here.
We're going to go and make time for us. And I think that's just critically important. If you don't, the years, the months, the days, they slip by without, I love the daily connection, weekly, monthly, yearly, the getaways, but it takes planning, intentionality, or you'll naturally drift apart without it.
Yes.
Oh, Arlene, this has been so great. Thank you so much for making time to come on and share so many wonderful things that you're doing, the ideas, the suggestions, the marriageweek.org, all that you have done. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate all that you do every week for marriage, Dave and Liz. It's been great to be with you. And people want to know more about my books. It's just my name, arlenepelican.com. And I host the Happy Home podcast.
Awesome.
Happy Home Podcast. We love
that
too.
And we'll put we're going to put those in our show notes as well. And links to her books, to her podcast. Again, thanks so much for coming on. And that's all for now, my friends. Thanks for joining us for another episode.
And remember, it's the small and simple things that create a stronger marriage connection. Take care now.
We'll see you. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.
911, what's your emergency?
I kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
911, what's your emergency?
I kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.